Welcome everyone. It's good to see you all, and I hope the ride wasn't that bad. And I see actually a lot of people, or some people are visiting from other churches, so we like to welcome them and hope to enjoy this retreat. If you haven't been to a retreat with us before, this is a retreat. This is not a convention or any kind of stuff like this. It's even though the number is big, and believe me, we wanted to limit the number as much as we can, but we hated to turn away people. So even though we're like a big number, but we can still keep the spirit of a retreat. It's difficult to have a retreat with 100 people, but you know, it's not impossible. Hopefully the weather also is going to be good during this weekend, so you enjoy the nature outside. We have we're in the middle of the mountains of West Virginia. We're like 2 miles away from West Virginia, so it's very, very scenic outside, especially in the spring. So I hope this will get you in the mood. So while we're actually sitting still, let's just close our eyes and have a quick prayer before we start our first talk. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the safe arrival of everyone, Lord, and we pray that everyone else comes safely. And we really, Lord, beg you from the depth of our hearts to come and join us. Because in your presence, Lord, is really fullness of joy. And we know, Lord, that if there is anything special about this retreat, it's really your presence, Lord, and not anything else. We want your glory, Lord. We want you to be the focus and the center of attention of every one of us. And we want to praise and glorify you, Lord, during this time. And Lord, if you're present in our midst, I'm sure, Lord, this is going to be a transformation for every one of us. Lord, if you have 100 hearts seeking you, leaving everything and driving hours and hours coming away, then you must have a good meal for them, Lord. So please, Lord, take away my weakness and any speaker or anything that's here, and you provide yourself, and you be the good shepherd, and you're the one who satisfies and gives and fulfills. We thank you, Lord, in advance for your blessing and your presence in our midst, and we thank you for this wonderful time that we are about to enjoy in your presence, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm the place and guide and speak to every and each one of us. Pray this through the prayers and intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. Amen. Okay, we'll try to be quick, because we know that you guys came from long drive. A lot of people coming from really hours and hours of driving. God bless you, and we hope that God will reward you and make it really something beneficial for all of you for just coming all the way here. There is nothing special here but God's presence. So we pray that God's presence, you know, overwhelm the place and overwhelm all of us. So the usually we have the Passion Retreat every single year for about 8 years now, and it's very popular, very special for a lot of people. Not only the Passion Retreat, but also the Holy Week is the favorite of a lot of people. Most of us, we love Holy Week. We love to come to church, and we love to sing this, you know, the praises, and we love to hear the messages during Holy Week. And for a lot of people, the Passion movie is the best, and it's the most influential movie ever in lots of people's lives. But the biggest question is, how does this help me or change my life or influence my life? The question is, why Holy Week people go and praise and pray for 12 hours on Good Friday, and a week later, just 1 week later, there is no one in the churches? Why the church is so empty? during Holy 50. What does that mean? Why do we get like hyped up for a retreat or for a talk or for something or an event, and then afterwards, you know, we don't relate these things that we enjoy with our life? We know that the cross is the center of our attention. It's the most important thing. It's the biggest sacrifice. But how will it help me? How will it really solve my problems? How will it help me lose weight, for example? Or how will it help me, you know, feel loved, secured, and accepted? Or how will it help me get married? Or how will it help me, you know, pay off my debts or my finances or friendships or relationships? What is the relationships? We know that we're all good believers, and that's why we're here in this retreat, and we come to Holy Week. But it seems like it works for a very short time, and afterwards, you know, it doesn't carry out for the rest of, you know, our lives. You know, when I spend hours and hours and days in the church and in the retreat and things like this, why doesn't carry out with me in my life, in my day-to-day business, in my real needs and problems? We call this disconnection. God is here, and here is the church, and here is the worship, and here is the Holy Week, here is the cross, here is the sacrifice. And here is my life, and my problems, and my worries, and everything. And it seems like they don't meet somehow. That's the disconnection that we're going to talk about. And hopefully, we can come up with that connection that we all need, so we don't get just fired and on fire, you know, during spiritual days or a spiritual retreat, and then leave empty and feel that it's irrelevant. Why would the cross of Christ or this great sacrifice be irrelevant for any one of us? And because of this disconnection, God becomes an added burden to my schedule. Why? Because here is my worries and my problems that I have to deal with. And here is God wants me to go to church and to fast and to give and to do this and that. So actually God becomes another burden. And when I ask someone to pray or to get connected with God, he says, you know my schedule, why'd you add burden to me? You know, when God is a burden, when prayer is difficult, when the spiritual activities are, you know, extra load, that's big disconnection. That means that God is not real in my life. He's not present. He's not, you know, he can't help me. What is this cross, and what is this Holy Week, and what is this prayer, and what is this great sacrifice that we talk about? And when it comes to my day-to-day life and business, I don't find it. I don't see it. It doesn't support me. And that's why also, and a lot of times, you know, I go to church just to satisfy God. You know, yeah, prayer here and there, and, you know, going to church here and there. Why? Because I want to just satisfy my conscience. I just want to satisfy God so he's not angry at me or he's not mad or anything. But God is really disconnected from my life. And this is the connection that we want to find during this retreat by God's grace. So in order to just get directly to the problem, and you will find this in your book, is what is the problem? We can identify the problem as emptiness or hunger. You can find this in your, there is empty space, so you write this down here. The problem is emptiness or hunger. What is the emptiness or what is the hunger? Well, in every phase in our lives, in every phase, there is a deep need for something. Whether a toy when we're young, or a TV or whatever, you know, or, you know, it's a career and it's a business, or it's a marriage life or whatever. In every step, every phase in our lives, there is that thing that's the focus of my attention, that's driving my life. As a matter of fact, in every phase in our lives, all of us, every and any one of us, we have a driving force that drives you, that moves your life. Hopefully there is something. If there isn't anything, that's a problem. So there is always something that we're running after. In every phase, it's different. Every age and every phase in your life, when you're young, when you're, adolescence years, and then your adulthood years, your career years, your marriage life years, and your senior years, they're different. But there's always something that's in your head day and night that motivates you, that moves you, and in a way it controls your life because it tells you, where to go and what to do and what to care about. As I said, this could be as simple as relationships, friends, marriage, or could be materialism, money. Some people all of a sudden, they never cared about money, and in a certain phase, they're hungry for money for one reason or another, or career, or people look, or just for fun, Have you seen people just hungry for fun? They're just after any fun, any party that's around. So there is that thing. The horses and the donkeys. Sorry, I have to give you this example because it's going to help us during the talk. They used to tie a rod to the neck of the donkey or the horse, and there is that rod tied in his neck, and in the end of this rod there is carrot. Very good. Thank you very much. There is carrot. Okay, and the horse and the donkey sees the carrot and he goes crazy. He's hungry, and that's the best force to move, like the nicest way of moving, a donkey or a horse. So they keep running after the carrot, and they run and run and run for miles and miles, and of course they don't get the carrot because it's just tied to their neck. They will never reach the carrot. So Every one of us has this carrot at a certain point of our lives. And as I say, it's sometimes controlling our lives. The problem is that we truly believe that this carrot is real, that this is my need. And if I get it, I'll be happy. If I just get it, if I just eat it, do you think that huge horse or donkey will be satisfied after eating one carrot? Give it to a baby and he wants more. It will never satisfy the donkey or the horse, but he still runs after that. Our problem is we believe these needs and these desires and these things that we believe in, and we run after them. But unfortunately, these things will never satisfy any of us. Okay, listen to this. And I want you always to remember this sentence. You are an eternal being. You know that? You're an eternal being. You're never going to die forever. You're going to live forever. Your spirit is going to live forever, whether in heaven or in hell. It's just going to live forever, right? All of us were different than animals. We have a spirit, and this spirit will live forever. And that's why we're created on God's image, because we are eternal like Him. We'll live forever. So you are an eternal being. Nothing temporal can satisfy and fulfill you. You are an eternal being. Nothing temporal, nothing that's created will fulfill human beings, because we are created in the image of God. We are eternal beings. We cannot be fulfilled by these things. And you can see it very, very, very clearly in our society when you see people have everything. And, I'm talking very, very real and practical. You can find people have everything and they're not happy and satisfied. Nowhere else but in this country you can find people who have it all.
but they're not happy.
You know what? What's the problem behind divorces these days? What's the problem? People don't have problems. Really. You know, if people are just struggling to live, if people are struggling to survive and to eat and drink and find, you know, a decent job, then they would just struggle, you know, to live and have good income. But they don't. People have everything. You find a young couple just married, they have everything. They have the money, they have the good jobs, they have the cars, they have, you know, the huge house, they have everything. And they're not satisfied. You know, and they find the love of their life, and they're not happy. They find the carrot, and they eat it, and they're not satisfied. Okay, tell me, have you ever seen someone saying, you know what, oh man, after marriage, my life is the best, is the happiest, is like never, it's like never before. Now, I have nothing bad to say about marriage. You know, someone who is dreaming to get married, and after the marriage, they're not happy. Okay, forget about marriage. We want to get out of this subject. Jobs. Have you ever seen someone saying, you know, I got the best job that I always, you know, dreamt with, and when I got it, I have, you know, I'm the happiest person on earth. Could be the first week or before he starts. But have you seen someone saying, I'm the happiest ever because I got the best job? Or because I got married to the best person in the entire world? No. People never say that. Why? Because nothing or no one or nothing created can satisfy you. No one or nothing can make you happy or not happy. That's a myth. It will never happen. I've never seen it. If you've seen someone like this, tell me. And I've seen people moving from one state to another. Okay, it's too cold. Let me go to Texas. Okay, let me go to California, LA. Let me go to the beach. And then let me go to Alaska. And the people who go, you know, moving, they move around. And people move around jobs. And people move around wives and husbands. And the same. You know, people are not satisfied. Or cars. Or, you know, everyone has his own thing. Everyone has his own carrot. The worst thing and the strangest thing, you find someone have everything that anyone in the entire world could wish for. Have the family, you know, the kids and everything. And he's not happy. And he goes for an affair or something. Why? Because there is emptiness. There is hunger. You know, there is deep hunger these days. Loneliness is the biggest problem. If you're single and you think you're lonely because you're single, I promise you, there are more lonely people in marriage. Probably you fill yourself with friends and things like this. But there is, you know, bigger loneliness. People are lonely with a big family and kids. And loneliness is very, very famous. If you're lonely, it's not a strange thing these days. There is search. There is hunger for love, for acceptance. There is a big search for significance these days. Okay, where is the disconnection? I just... You know, if you noticed, I just went off the topic now. You know, the disconnection between us and God. And I explained the problem. So, where is the disconnection? The disconnection is here. Okay. Here is my problems. And they exist. And here is God that I worship, that I go, that I pay my dues. And then my problems are not solved yet. Okay, I go to church and I give and things like this. But my loneliness is the same. My problems are the same. So, is the cross not relevant or what? So, in a lot of our minds, the disconnection happened already. That this is God with His prayers. God is all about prayer and church and worship and things like this. And my problems are mine. And God has nothing to do with it. And he just don't know what I'm going through. Or if He knows, but God is not interested in my problems. This is the disconnection. But I feel people who are in the church who knows God, and at the same time they are lonely and they have their problems. This is this connection that where I pray and nothing is happening. Okay, then God is just an extra load, you know, to my life and to my burdens. I love when I go to church and I hear God will fulfill all of your, you know, needs, and He will fulfill your heart, and He will give you the desire of your heart. And I love to hear that. But I love to see it happening also. But I don't see it happening. You know, this is the disconnection. If the cross doesn't give me what solves my problems, then, you know, how is it beneficial to me? Then I come to Holy Week and I cry a little bit, and I leave God in the church and go run after the carrot. That's exactly what we do. We go worship, go out, go run after the carrot. That's what we do. What we miss here in your outline, what we usually miss is the fulfillment is in the giver, not in the gift. The fulfillment is in the giver, not in the gift. Jesus did not say, I have the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I have the life to give you. He said, I am the life. So the real fulfillment is in Him. It's not that He has it or He gives it. No, He is the fulfillment. He is the answer. He is the gift, but we cannot recognize it. He is the fulfillment, but I cannot see it. Why? Because I'm focusing too much on the gift, on that thing, on that carrot. And because I'm focusing too much, I'm disconnected from God. I'm hungry for God, but I don't know it. I search for the carrot always. I have deep hunger for God, and this is the real hunger that I have. But I don't know it. I think it is the carrot. And that's why I keep running after the carrot. That's why I'm disconnected from God. I'm not running after Him. I'm running after that carrot. Listen to King David, who had everything. Everything. You know, literally. See what he said. He said, in your presence is fullness of joy. I find the joy. The fullness of joy is in your presence, Lord. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures. Who doesn't want pleasures? Who are not looking for pleasures? If you tell anyone, if anyone says I'm not looking for pleasures, he's crazy, right? She must be crazy. We are looking for pleasures, all of us. We want things to please us, to make us feel good, and to make us feel good about ourselves and feel significant and accepted. But no one, human beings, will keep you up and down. One word they make you up, and one word they bring you down, and you go on this roller coaster. And David found it, and he said, the real pleasures, you know, when I'm in your presence, I'm full of these pleasures. Why? He found the real food for our souls, which is God Himself. So He is the answer. It's not that He does have the answer. No, He is the answer for what we need. And He said, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I'm satisfied just with you. You are the satisfaction. And of course, for a lot of us, this doesn't seem practical or real or applicable. This sounds so theoretical. Don't want to say any bad word. So theoretical. The reality is, we're going to explain how this is not theoretical, but this is real. The reality is that we have emptiness and holes. We are convinced that it will be fulfilled only in a certain way that we can see. But a lot of people were searching for that for many years. They didn't find it. And they found the carrot. They got the carrot. They ate it. They were not satisfied. It was a myth. So you want to keep on trying and searching and getting more things to make you happy and to please you, go ahead. But you're wasting your life and you're wasting your time. I promise you, if you have enough faith, you will know that God created you and He knows your needs more than you. Not only that He knows, but He's interested in your life, in your needs, in satisfying them, in working on them. He didn't come on earth and died on the cross in order for us to live an empty and miserable life. No. He definitely cares about our life. A lot of times we think that God thinks about heaven, but life on earth should be hell and miserable. That's not correct. That's not correct. A lot of people have misunderstanding of the cross. They have problems. Okay? One of two things. They either say, well, God has no interest in my problems, or if they're too spiritual, they say, okay, yeah, God is interested in my problems, but He wants me to suffer and live, you know, a miserable life because this is my cross. I have to deal with it. I have to put up with my cross. That's not correct. That's the lame way of defining the cross. The cross you bear was your own will, happily and willingly. But the miserable life is not for Christians. Where is rejoice in the Lord? And again, I say rejoice. If this doesn't apply to you, then it's phony. Then it's phony. Then we are definitely disconnected from Him. So, He said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus wanted to give us a fulfilled life. Life to its fullness. That's what He came for. So, here is the connection that Jesus is the answer to my problems. He is the answer. He doesn't have the answer. He is the answer to my problems. The connection between God and the cross and the sacrifice and my problems is that my problems and my life will be satisfied only by Him. The more I fill myself with Him, the more my problems are solved. The answer is in Him. It's not He doesn't have the answer. The only problem is, I always look for God to solve my problem my way. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting on God, and He's not coming. And I'm praying, and He's not listening. Why? Because I expect Him to give me something in particular. I expect Him to come in a certain way. However, God fulfills me His own way, not my own way. Let me give you a clear example for that. You know the story of Amba Bishoy, one of the greatest saints. He used to see Christ many times. He was well known for seeing Christ. So his disciples came to him and said, you know, how come you're our teacher and our mentor, and you see Christ, and you never, you know, give us this opportunity? We want to see Christ in the flesh the same way you see Him and you touch Him. He said, okay, let me ask. And he asked, and Jesus said, okay, I will meet them on that mountain, on that day, on that hour. And all the disciples came, and they were ready, they prepared, and they ran early and went there. On the way, they saw someone, you know, old man wanted to go with them to see Jesus. And they said, you know, how can you climb this mountain? He can't. So he said, you know, can you carry me? Of course, there's no wheelchair, there's no elevator. So he said, you're crazy, you can't. So they left him and went. And here, Amba Bishoy, the old man came and passed by this very old man. And he asked him, can you carry me with you to go and see Christ? Of course, he's very simple, very, very simple man. So he tried carrying him on his shoulder somehow. And this man, you know, a little by little started to be light and then heavy, and then he discovered that this man was Christ himself. Let me ask you a question. Did the disciples see him or they didn't? They did and they didn't at the same time. Why? Because they expected him to appear on the mountain as the picture, carrying a cross and a Bible and standing like this, you know. But they didn't. Why? He came his own way, not our own way. And I promise you that God passes by us every single day, but I don't see him. I'm totally disconnected from him. He comes and passes by me, and he touches me, and he speaks to me, but I don't see it. That's why God is not relevant to me. I expect him to give me, not to be the gift. I expect him to show me something or give me something or to appear to me a certain way that I'm interested in. But he doesn't. He does it his own way. He didn't say, I have the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. It's in me. You know, that's the connection. Again, we wait for that thing to happen, and it's not happening. And God is still so far away from my life and my problems and my needs and my wants. I'm always waiting for someone to change or a circumstance to change. But God not necessarily will change the circumstances. He might change me, right? That's another way of solving it. He might not change the circumstances, but he might change me and the way I look at it. And that's how I see a lot of people get their problems, you know, solved. And that's the answer. So, how do we solve this problem permanently and practically? Because all what I said now could be something very theoretical. How can we solve this practically and permanently? The answer is very simple. The connection will happen only through prayer. And as much as you don't like this word, as much as it's the truth, and I hope that your mentality about prayer will change after this retreat. Let me tell you something very important. Don't think that we have anything or any messages from God less than the messages that the apostles or the martyrs or the great people used to have. Don't you think ever that you are missing something that St. George and St. Mina had. We are only missing one thing from these great people. There is only one difference between them. I promise you, we heard sermons 10 times more than them. And we heard so powerful messages and clear things from God 10 times more than them. The only difference between us and them is the life of prayer. We're not prayerful people. God's answer to everything, it's not going to happen after prayer. It's going to happen in prayer. It's going to happen in prayer. If God will change you, He will change you during prayer, in the time of prayer, not after prayer. Not after prayer. It is in the time of prayer. This is where the change happens. If God wants to fill you, He's not going to fill you after prayer. Don't wait after prayer for these things to be answered. No. If they don't happen during prayer, in the time of prayer, they will never happen. Don't expect anything afterwards. Don't wait for anything afterwards to happen. If there is anything that we are lacking as the children of God, we are lacking the life of prayer. We're lacking it big time. Let me give you an example. Prayer as essential to us as it is essential to the angels. You know, they say that angels, they get their honor and their glory from their job, what they're doing, which is praising God, glorifying God and serving God. And we get our identity and our holiness and our blessings from the same aspect of prayer. Prayer is as essential to human beings, you know, as it is to the angel. Something you might not know, that within you, within every one of us, God created something to be attracted to Him. God created something to search for prayer and to search for Him. Let me read this verse for you, and I'm not going to take longer than this. He said, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. I want you to underline this. He has put eternity in their hearts. You know what this means? It means like God is like a big magnet, and in your heart, He put a small piece of metal in order to attract you to Him. So you are by nature attracted to God and attracted to prayer. Prayer is essential to every one of us as food and drink and air. But we're so hungry. We're not hungry for anything, I promise you. You think we're hungry for money? Or you think we're hungry for relationships? We're hungry for the real thing, which is relationship with God, which is Christ Himself, the bread of life. God drew us, you know, as a magnet to Him. And we mysteriously travel towards Him in a manner too deep to understand. It is the receiving power of grace. If there is any grace that God will want to give you, He will give it to you through prayer, not through anything else. We live in a fallen world, in a world that's full of temptations, and I'm not going to read the following verse, but you can read it. It's all about the spiritual warfares with the devils, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this age. And how do we fight? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. We fall a lot. Why? Because we're missing the life of holiness. The life of holiness will never come except during the time of prayer. During the time of prayer, where is the transformation? Where God sends His holiness. The more time we spend with Him, the more we become like Him. If we're missing holiness and blessing in our life. If I tell you now you're a saint, you're a blessing, you step your foot in any place, it glows. What are you going to tell me? What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, no, that's not true. It's exact. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. I go somewhere and I turn it upside down. Why is that? Because you don't carry God with you. Where is the life of holiness? Why it's missing? Because we don't have a lot of churches? Because we don't have a lot of books? We are in an era of knowledge. We have so much knowledge. We have so much books and explanation and commentaries. We have the Bibles explained. We have the truth and we know the truth. But why it doesn't move and change us and solve my problems? Because I don't connect with it. Because I don't have enough of it. Because I don't get this, you know, through the life of prayer. Why I'm fought easily? Because there's no life of prayer. Why I ask and there's no answer? Because I don't ask the right question, the right thing. You know, as St. James said in the following verse you have in your outline. Prayer fills us you know, with the yearning power to God's will. People say, how can I know God's will? Or people ask, you know, I want something and I pray for something and it's not God's will. That's why I stop praying, because apparently it's not God's will. You know what? What happens in prayer? That God will change your will to become like His will. God will change you. Say, how do I know what the right thing to pray? Do I pray for my grandfather to be healed or to go to heaven? Because I don't know. Because I prayed for my grandmother to be healed and she died. Because we're not praying the right prayer. We don't know how to connect to God through prayer. We don't have enough of prayer. But prayer should change your will to become like God's will. When and where? That's in prayer and during prayer. It's the peace of heart. It is the light of the souls. You know, I will just conclude with one thing, is that prayer is the most important deed for a Christian, but it is the most ignored deed too. It is the most important deed for a Christian, but is the most ignored deed. And I'm sure now you will have so many questions and things to ask. Well, this is just the beginning. You know, during this time of the retreat, we will know how to make that connection. How prayer should be the center of my life. How God can be real and present and apparent through the life of prayer. How prayer, you know, can be something useful and something that I look for, not something that I dread and something that I don't look forward to. This is what we are going to talk about, and not only talk about, hopefully we pray about during this retreat. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Do you have any questions? As I said, a lot of questions will be answered during the coming talks and discussions and things like this. But if anything that's very related to what I said now, I'll be happy to answer it quickly. Yes, Mike.
I have a question regarding, if God knows our needs, why are we asking for it from prayer?
Okay. You're asking exactly the question that I... Okay, that's what I said. I pray for my needs, and I even pray for them, and it's not working. It's not that I pray for them and then I get them. Well, I shouldn't pray for my needs, to tell you the truth. The reason of prayer and the purpose of prayer should be connecting with God. And I promise you, if you really come to the presence of God, imagine that you are taking up to heaven right now. God forbid, don't make it here, okay? Just wait until you go back. If you travel and come back. If you travel to heaven and stand before God's throne, and think about it and meditate about it tomorrow, what are you going to ask Him? I promise you, you're never going to ask for anything. You know what you will ask for? You will ask for forgiveness. You will be just very thankful and grateful to be in His presence. You will forget all of your needs. And I promise you that they will be solved. The problem is that we are still focusing on our needs. Definitely, I have to tell God as a father and as a parent about everything that's going on in my head. Not as a need, because when I tell Him, it's going to happen. Because when I tell Him, it's going to help me. God knows my need. He doesn't need to know. But you know what? When you have a problem, when you talk about it, and when you find someone who's very reasonable, very understanding about your problem, 50% of the solution is when you tell him, when you talk to him. That's the solution. It's for us, you know, to know that he knows these needs. So the purpose of prayer is that we are connected with Him. And once we're connected, once we are in His presence, I'm not focusing on my needs, on my things. If this is going to be the focus of my prayer, that's going to be a shopping list. And we're going to talk about that later on. Any other question? Let's pray. And as I said, keep this book with you at all times. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Lord, we want to thank You for You, for Your presence, for Your fatherhood, for the best gift, Lord, in life and in eternal life, which is You, Lord. Lord, if we are looking for heaven that doesn't have You, it's useless, Lord, and it's not heaven. But help us, Lord, to focus on You and to find You as the answer, Lord, of our lives. Help us to connect with You, Lord, through prayers. Teach us to pray, Lord, as You taught Your disciples. And make us people of prayer, a generation of prayer. Lord, we know that You change the world through prayers. And You do great things and amazing things, Lord, through prayers. But we're missing that very much, Lord. We've never seen, Lord, a generation that's good example for us in prayers. We're not good at it, Lord. So teach us and make us grow in it. And make this retreat, Lord, as just a wake-up call for every and each one of us to the importance of the prayer life, that we may know, Lord, what to pray for and how to pray and when to pray and what's the right and acceptable prayer to You. Help us even to learn from each other, Lord. Transform us, Lord, during this retreat, not through any words that are being said, but more, Lord, through the prayers that we are sending up to You. We thank You and we praise You and we bless You. Glorify You, Lord, and we ask that Your presence be very clear and apparent and magnificent, Lord, and during this retreat. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all Your saints. Hear us and pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not temptations, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, and the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.